Alrighty. Second week in a row we're here on an abnormal day. Today is Thursday, June 23rd, and this is episode 48, closing in on 50 of When Worlds Collide. We got Fishy remotely chiming in today again. We got the face cam going. Buddy, how are you?
Oh, I am doing fantastic. Chilling in the good old Virginia.
Virginia.
No better place to live.
The place of lovers or something like that, right?
I wouldn't know. I'm only here for 2 weeks.
Hey, I mean, you still got another week, man. You never know. Yep. But before we go any further, buddy, you know how we start these things.
Oh, boy. Yes, I do.
You got ready?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, baby.
Nice little lager.
Nice little crack McGee.
I'm cracking this one for now, but I got to finish that other IPA.
I did.
Cheers, everyone.
I did the exact same thing, actually.
Right. Happy Thursday.
Cheers, buddy. Oh, I got to get this thing out of the way. It's like leaking into my other screen. Ooh, baby.
Oh, my God. Lagers are so much better. Yes.
Okay.
Get this IPA out of the way.
So, for our gaming question of the day, right off the cuff, since we do have a Nintendo sale going on that we're not going to talk about too much, but there is one going on. Mm-hmm. Who is your go-to character if you're playing like Mario Kart, Mario Party? Do you have a go-to character? I feel like in Mario games, you have to have like your character, you know? Like I know Brian is a Yoshi guy. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of Toad people out there. Me and myself, this has been discussed when I was playing Cat in Mario Kart. I am a Luigi guy. Got my little Luigi guy looking over here.
An avid Luigi player.
Some say that's why I lose so much. I think not.
Always coming second.
Yeah.
For me, especially for Mario Kart and Mario Party, I gotta go with my boy Bowser Jr.
Bowser Jr. Okay, hell yeah.
Yeah, I have been playing him since day one. Mostly on your Switch whenever we play like the party games and everything, but I always pick them for Mario Kart and Mario Party, and it's always a 50-50 turn if I'm just going to absolutely dominate or just come in last place, but I'm always willing to roll the dice on that guy.
They got Bowser Jr. and Mario Golf as well, actually.
Ooh.
We actually need to do that after one of the podcasts upcoming is do a, what we call Drunk Rory, but Mario Golf style.
Oh, God, dude. I cannot play another Mario-themed drinking game.
Oh, they're honestly my favorite, dude.
I mean, they're fun, but they're so dangerous, and I feel like I'm going to throw up after the first round.
Yeah. Tink said her go-to is Princess Peach, while Blazer mentioned that he's a Yoshi or DK guy.
Ooh.
What about Mario Tennis? Bro, I actually haven't been on the Mario Tennis. I have not gotten the new one yet. And as Fitch and I were discussing, these Nintendo sales aren't really sales because all their games stay at $60 for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then after 20 years, they actually increase in value. So yeah. They never go on sale.
Instead of buying a full price game that's 20 years old, you can now get them for $47 plus tax. So it's probably $50, $52. So it's huge, huge sale going on for Nintendo summer sale.
Bro,
so get at it.
I bet you if anybody wants to look up what the going rate for like Mario Party 2 on 64 is, I bet you it's over $100.
Oh, well, I wouldn't doubt it.
If somebody
that's
wanted
a classic.
Yeah, and if somebody in chat wants to vet that, I would bet a beer on it. Undead said his pick is Yoshi for every game I can pick, but for Smash, he goes with Kirby.
Ooh.
So he can suck people in and jump off the map with them.
Oh, you're one of those players, Undead. Oh, my God.
That makes
you're the
so
reason
much
why
sense.
That community is so toxic.
That, I mean, that just makes so much sense. But,
right?
Dude, like, if you're Yoshi, it's even better because then you can just poop them off the map. Like,
oh,
especially
yeah,
in
right.
Smash in the 64 version, you can, like, you know, eat them and then you poop them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent, you know?
I was watching from the newer Super Smash with they got like Steve in it from Minecraft. I've seen people do some of the funniest shit ever with that character. It is absolutely hilarious what you can do. Like, people are just absolutely throttling them. They just combo them, then they just build a big F symbol before they whack them out of the arena.
That's hilarious, dude.
It's so good. I love it.
So, dude, I didn't know that there was like actual like button combos for Smash. I just like always picked it up and played casually, but then I've actually I've watched like some esports of Smash. I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
We've dabbled in fighting games before. We both got pretty good at Mortal Kombat, and I think I mentioned this last night. If there's anybody out there that wants the hands in MK, feel free. I love to give them.
I would try to back that up, but I've literally forgotten every single combo with my character. So I'm like back to square one with that game. I don't know how to play it anymore.
I remember a few combos for each character, but like Scorpion is engraved in my soul. So I could play Scorpion on an arcade machine all the way up to the new one.
Wow. So, oh my God.
Yeah. Scorpion, I could always play. But anyways, man, let's hop on into the gaming news. What we got first here, my friend?
Yeah, so right now we are in a post-Summer Games sadness right now. So, you know, like all the good news came last week and now we're just like kind of in a lull. But I just wanted to do a little quick recap from the viewership from the Summer Games Festival. Festival and everything.
Festival,
you know, whatever, showcase, everything. Dude, the IP is already talking to me. But
60%.
Yep, 60%.
That's where we live.
But with the viewership from it, it actually was better than last year's Game Fest. And the stats that they came out with is they had 27 million plus live streams. They had a 3.5 million peak concurrent global viewer base, and they had over 6,000 co-streams go on it. Their viewership was about 8-10% higher from last year, which is still like good because it's still like, you know, it's increasing. And yeah, it was just I think it was really good, even though like the announcements weren't like groundbreaking, you know, like other than Starfield. I think they did a pretty good job with this year's Games Fest.
Yeah, so, I think overall, like across most showcases, we still have like this COVID lag where there, like you were saying, there hasn't really been any groundbreaking news, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things kind of segueing here, looking back at last week when we were touching on the showcases, that Destin Legere brought up. I know you and I are both big fans of Destin's. And he was saying that there was no groundbreaking things at the Xbox showcase. And he just believes that the way they did it was fine, but giving people, the consumer, a heads up beforehand that it was just going to be the next 12 months of games, nothing to look forward, should have been, you know, tweeted or something beforehand to get, kind of temper expectations, right?
Right, right.
So... But I, like I was saying, I feel like you're seeing this kind of across the board. Nothing really groundbreaking being announced this summer.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's to be expected and everything. But I kind of like the format that specifically what Xbox and Bethesda did for their game showcase. I kind of like just seeing the news for only the next 12 months, you know. Like, before, we would just get, like, teaser trailers for games. And one, they wouldn't even show the year that it would come out, or it would just be like, oh, like this happened like a few years ago, like this game's coming out like in 2024, 2025. It was like, okay, like why are you showing us this now? Like, I don't want to get hyped for a game that comes out 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you know? That's why I like the 12-month format.
I agree with that, but I think I'd extend it to maybe 24 months. Because I just feel like a window of 12 months is just so brief, right? It's like, how many like bombshells are you going to get within a year? You know, so if they want to show me what I'm going to get this year and things to look forward to in the near future, and if we're going to, you know, quantify the near future 2 years, I think is fine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I could see how that would be better, but, Yeah, I don't know why. Just the 12-month is just a lot better in my case, because it just, you know, like you said, it's brief, but, you know, at least we'll still remember it within 12 months. Like, Starfield comes out early 2023, so, like, they'll still be fresh in my mind throughout the whole year, instead of hearing an announcement for a game that comes out, like, late 23 or, like, 2024 and stuff like that. So I definitely prefer the 12-month span over what they've done in the past.
Yeah, fair enough, man. What we got up next for us?
Yeah, so all these other things are kind of just like little one-liner like articles that I pulled up, because, like I said, we're just in a news lull after the whole fest and everything. But today, the people from Asobo Interactive Studio, or just Asobo Studio, the developers for A Plague Tale, they officially announced the release date for their sequel, A Plague Tale Requiem, and that is coming out this year on October 18th. And with that announcement, we have just an insane lineup for games coming in October.
I know, so I feel like there's, it's like the month where everything's coming out. Like, I can think of like at least like 5 games coming out in October, right?
Right, yeah, it's just, it's gonna be, and it's like not, again, like we said, it's not groundbreaking games, but it is a pretty hefty lineup for October of this year, which I'm happy for, because, like, when we initially watched the Xbox Bethesda showcase, my initial thoughts from watching it was just like, that wasn't that good. But then, like, recapping of all the games that they showed, I was just like, I got, like, more and more hyped for all the games releasing, and it looks like most of them are coming out this October. So I'm definitely excited for it. Excited for Plague Tale, the sequel, because I just beat the first one, and this second one looks really good. With the release date, they also showed, like, a 10-minute gameplay, whatever video on it. And it's just like giving me like old school, like Assassin's Creed 1 vibes and everything. So I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Undead made a good point. He goes, what we may lack in first party games this year is going to be made up for in Game Pass.
Oh, and, yeah, right.
I mean, that's 100% correct. We did talk in length about the showcases and some of the games we're excited for. Last week. So if that's something you guys are interested in, more of a more in-depth recap of the games we are more excited for, I'm rambling, holy fuck, go check out episode 47. Also, yep. Undead, while it's on my mind, because it's 60% functioning right now, that's a recurring theme. I might need a 60% emote if anybody wants to go ahead and make that. Just put a brain and put a 60% on it.
Just make Carl's face with like a low battery sign right next to him.
That works just as well. But so with it being summer, I guess this is kind of fitting. We do have some skateboard news, right?
Ooh, baby.
Both on the skate side, if you played those games before, they're awesome, as well as the Tony Hawk side. Some good, some bad. What do you want to start with, the good or the bad?
Let's go with the bad first, you know.
All right, sounds good.
You're going to deliver it too, by the way. That's not me.
All right, I got you. All right, so I will be the bearer of bad news. For any Tony Hawk fans out there, we are not getting a Pro Skater 3 and 4 remake. It has officially been abandoned. After they remade 1 and 2 together, which I bought, which was awesome. I had a blast with that. That took up a solid month of just playing skater games. Officially abandoned, and the decision was made to abandon the game back in January 2001. For whatever reason, it's just getting announced now. I think Tony Hawk was like on a podcast or something, and he got asked about it and confirmed that the game is in fact not happening. So that kind of sucks. That being said, I don't think I even played Pro Skater 3 and 4. I played 1 and 2 a ton, and then Underground. So maybe they'll just scrap 3 and 4 and remaster Underground, because I don't know anybody that did not like Underground. That's like notoriously got to be the greatest skating game of all time, maybe. Is that bold to say?
Not too far off, I don't think. Yeah.
I just remember like Underground encompassing like the skater ecosystem or like the whole vibe, you know what I mean?
The culture.
The culture, thank you. 60%.
Buddy, oh my god. Buddy,
I told you I'm hurting over here, man. I was
bro. Our blooper reel will be like 6 hours long.
Right. I mean, it'll be about longer than the highlight reel. For anyone that doesn't know, oh, I was absolutely bodying Natty Ices last night playing Fall Guys in Halo. So low functioning today.
It was a delayed hangover for today, for sure.
Well, yeah, man. So Underground remaster would be awesome. So hopefully they scrap 3 and 4, but Underground is the one that they actually choose to pursue.
Yeah. During Tony Hawk said himself, like when he was getting interviewed about it, he said like the project is abandoned for now, but he also said like never say never. So it could potentially Activision could potentially pick up the franchise again, especially now since Activision is getting merged with Microsoft. So I mean, like Microsoft could get a dev team together and make a remake for 3 and 4, but for now the project was abandoned. And it was only because like Activision was like actively looking for people to do the remakes, and they just like figured that they couldn't trust anyone enough with the IP to like give it a good successor, and that's why the whole idea was just like scrapped for now. But never say never, in the words of Tony Hawk himself.
Well, I'm glad they did that though, instead of having an underwhelming like remaster come out, you know?
Right. Yeah, dude. The remakes that we got, I mean, IGN gave it like a 9.4, and it also was like the highest. What was the thing that they said? The Tony Hawk Pro Skater remake got a 9.4 when it was released. It's also the highest first month sales of any game in like the series. So like, it's not like it sold poorly or got bad ratings. Like the game was phenomenal.
Well, I know. It was just the fact that they
scrapped the idea, right?
The only thing I didn't like about it was that after I bought it, then they came out with the Series X update for it, and you had to buy the game again if you wanted it. So that was the
wait,
only...
really?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, that was the only thing that rubbed me the wrong way.
What was the reason behind it? Was it just like the same price, or did they like put like a $70 price tag on it?
I think it was right in that time frame where games were doing all that bullshit where it was like, okay, you can pay $80 and you get Xbox One and Xbox Series X, you get both games, or
oh my god,
yeah, or you can buy like the $60 or you can buy the $70, you know, there's like three different versions.
That's so stupid. Oh yeah. My god.
Well, you know, like the whole game industry was doing that bullshit for a second, and then that got flushed out real quick when everybody got PO'd by it. But
yeah,
they just got
good thing
that
PC players don't have to deal with different generations.
Yeah, I believe you raged about that.
I did. Yeah, I did rage about that specific issue. It was more toward the fact of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, because we bought that game for $70. But it's like a console problem right now, where they're just making us pay an extra $10 for next gen features when it's still base price on PC.
Right.
That just grinds my gears. Well, speaking of summer or PC right now, we got the Steam summer sale is live right now today. And a quick little tidbit. If you guys have a PC, you want to check it out. It's Steam summer sales are just absolutely insane. Definitely check it out if you had a game that you've been wanting to get, because like literally every game is like 50 to 80% off right now. So you can just get any game for like $20 to $5 or something like that. It's absolutely wild.
Yeah. Steam Summer Sale always has great games. But buddy, I don't want to leave the skaters out to dry here, man. We got to give them the good news as well.
Oh yeah, shit. My bad.
You're good. We do have a Skate 4 announcement coming here soon. The cover art dropped and it looks immaculate. So in the coming month, we'll be looking forward to the announcement of that game. So it's not all ooh, bad baby news for skater fans. But yeah, like you said, Steam Summer Sale, maybe that's an opportunity where you can pick up Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 remastered.
Oh, yeah.
Additionally, some other games that we just wanted to touch on real briefly here. Fall Guys recently just went free and cross-play. So head, little mm-hmm. heads up, that's what we were doing last night. That's another reason why Fish and I are moving a little bit slower today than usual.
Super fun game, though. Highly recommend playing it. It's only, what, how big is the game? Like 3 gigabytes or something? Like,
yeah.
Really tiny game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. You can play gigabytes, it with squads.
3 gigabytes, and Kat's telling me she doesn't have room in her storage for it. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. Smelling that bullshit again.
Oh my god, it was reeking.
Oh my god.
3 gigabytes.
Smell it in the other room.
I could not wrap my head around that.
But yeah, the game's really fun. It runs really well for it being released on all the consoles and everything, and crossplay, what Carl said and everything. So definitely worth a try. Well. Oh yeah, yeah, cross progression as well. So yeah, get your group of friends together, even if you're solo. Like, it's still fun to play solo games, and it's just a good time.
And be on the lookout. We do want to organize some Fall Guys tournaments when they bring back the custom lobbies. We noticed for whatever reason they dropped them yesterday. So whenever they bring those back, be on the lookout for those guys. We do plan to have just like a Sandlot Discord community event where we get everybody in to play Fall Guys. So that should be something fun to look forward whenever they do bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tink actually said she's getting ready to play some Fall Guys right now.
Ooh, so there you baby.
Go. There you go.
Tink, practice on your swinging jumps, please. It was painting my soul watching you try to grab onto the swinging bars. Oh, good.
Oh, God is right. All right, man. Well, like you said, kind of a dry week as far as games goes. So we're going to hop on over to the sports side of it for this week. And we do have a fair amount of sports stuff going on. Starting with the little beef that's going on between the PGA and the LIV. So if you're not aware, there is a new golf organization that is starting to poach some of these PGA players called LIV. It is based out of Saudi Arabia, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's all they worded a Saudi-backed tour. So I don't know if it's based in Saudi Arabia, but it's backed by the Saudis.
Yeah, so this is the first time that there's been some real drama and shakeup in golf in a while. So if nothing else, it's putting a spotlight on the game. And I mean, everybody loves some good drama, right?
Oh yeah. We thrive on the drama.
So yeah, you laughing at undead.
Yeah.
But anyways, man, so there are some positives and then some negatives to this, obviously, like the PGA keeping with more of the tradition of golf. But one of the things that the PGA doesn't do that LIV does do is there's guaranteed money now, which is something that most sports have. I don't know why golf doesn't.
Right.
So for people that aren't unaware, the PGA doesn't give you a regular base salary throughout the year, right? So you show up to the event and you have to win your money. So if you play like dog shit, you could potentially be going negative, which is crazy for a professional athlete nowadays, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you fly yourself there, right, and then you pay for your hotel, and then you absolutely just shank it all weekend, you're going net negative. So
you have to take a loan out at the bank.
Yeah, so LIV basically said, well, fuck that. We're going to try to poach some of the biggest people from PGA. And who they did get was Phil Mickelson, which I think they're guaranteeing him $200 million for a year or something like that.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was just like, holy shit, that is a stupid amount of money for him to come over.
Right, and a lot of the PGA guys were giving him shit because, you know, obviously Phil has been a part of the PGA for so long, and this is kind of disrupting all of that. But, I mean, here's our sports question of the day right here, buddy. If you see a check for $200 million, are you saying no? Are you going against the organization that has done everything for you in your career? You know, and golf is a game of tradition and legacy. Are you taking that check for $200 million and going to play in the LIV? Or are you sticking with the PGA?
Oh, bro, is that even a question? I'm chasing the bag, baby. $200 million is $200 million.
I completely agree. So,
bro, are you kidding me? Fuck the legacy, dude. Every athlete who plays the game nowadays is in it for the money. I mean, like, there's a little bit of, like, you know, love for the game and everything. But 200 mil is 200 mil. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
You gotta be an idiot if you're not taking that.
I mean, I completely agree. 200 mil is like generational changing money. Not just life changing for you. Like your entire family. You're playing for your kids' education, right?
Yeah. And the thing that like baffles me a bit, it's like you said it was what, like a 1 year contract for 200 mil?
I'm like, not sure like the extent of the contract, but I know they threw Phil the bag because obviously he's one of the biggest names in sports.
Yeah. Well, like regardless, they act like he's gonna be there indefinitely. And if it's like a set amount of time in a contract, like he could always come back, you know. If it's especially if it's only for 1 year, like who cares? It's 1 year. the PGA Tour is not gonna suffer that much if it's only one person for a year. But I could see the point of like all the pro or like most of the pro players switch over, then the PGA will be in trouble. But like if it's like short term contracts for that much money, I mean, like hell yeah, do it. Like I don't think it's gonna hurt anyone.
So I guess the only stipulation is now that the PGA is, you know, suspending or even you know, indefinitely kicking some of these players out going forward.
Yeah, that's the wrong move. I think that's the wrong move.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, you know, the idea of having all your best athletes and competing against the best athletes in one grouping is good, obviously, for competition and for the sport as a whole. But
yeah,
like we just said, if you're seeing that check for 200 mil, how are you going to say no to that?
Did Phil Mickelson ever respond? Like, did he agree to the contract yet, or is it just still like discussion?
No, he's with Liv as far as him, and then like I think like 12 other pretty well renowned names. But like the way they're setting everything up is a little bit different. I believe you gave us a Google. Like, what does Liv actually stand for?
Oh yeah, so it actually doesn't stand for any name. It's the Roman numerals for the number 54, which in that tour, they play 54 holes for 3 rounds, while the PGA is 4 rounds for 72 holes. That's why LIV stands for. It's just 54, the number 54.
Oh. Okay, well,
yeah,
that's simple nice enough.
Little fun fact. Yeah, I was like so curious. I was like, what the hell does LIV stand for? I was like trying to like put the words together because PGAZ is just Professional Golf Association. But for LIV, I was just like, nothing makes sense. I just had to Google, and it's literally just the Roman numerals.
Fair enough. So there's a bunch of different pros and cons to each one of these organizations. I think at the very least, I hope the PGA does prevail in the long run. But I hope they learn from some of the things that LIV is doing. Like guaranteed money for these athletes is something that needs to happen. It happens in every other sport. Why doesn't it happen in golf? If you're a professional athlete, you should be, you know, have some sort of contract where you're able to make money, right? You're the best of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should have a year of the contract with a minimum at the least. But all right.
With their long-standing, they haven't updated their terms of service yet, so they really need to get with the times.
There's no doubt about it, man. Well, I'm not going to pretend to be a golf analyst, so that's about all you're going to get out of us here as far as the golf goes. Something I do know a little bit more about is the NBA, and over the last week, the Warriors did secure their fourth title in the last 8 years. We talked a little bit about dynasties last week, and the Warriors definitely have one of the best in the NBA, and it might continue with Stephen A. already projecting them to win next year. They have, they have Steph, Klay, Draymond, obviously, but now they have a young core of guys around them that helped them get to the championship this year. Andrew Wiggins was instrumental with his defense being able to lock Jason Tatum down, leading Jason Tatum to the record for most turnovers in an NBA series.
Wow. Holy crap.
Eclipsing 100 turnovers.
Oh my God.
Isn't that insane?
That is a lot. Was that just during the final series alone?
I believe so. Like that's.
Jeez.
So you're 100 turnovers over 6 games?
Dude,
I think that's what it was. Or I don't know if it's like through the entire playoffs or what, because even that number seems crazy to me. So
if it's during only the finals, that is an unbelievable stat. If it's for the playoffs, that's a little more believable. If it was only in the finals, I'd be like, holy crap. Oh my God.
I remember listening to somebody chat about it. So, I think it was for the series. I think it was something dummy like that. But yeah, Andrew Wiggins obviously played a pivotal role in that. Jordan Poole. And then they got Wiseman coming back. And then the other guy's name that starts with an M, I don't know how to pronounce, so I'm not going to. But bottom line is they got a young core of players that this run could definitely continue as, you know, Clay, Steph, and Draymond begin to age a little bit.
Yeah, I could easily see them making the playoffs and going to the finals again, without a doubt. As long as, you know, they stay healthy as usual and COVID doesn't ruin things again.
Yeah, let's hope that we're past that, but we'll see.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I mean, like, the guidelines were eased up a bit, so it's not as detrimental to these teams when a player catches COVID, you know, because, like, there's less, whatever, quarantine time that they have to deal with now, so they can get back into the game, like, by the next week.
Right, and protocols and everything are different now.
Right.
Speaking of basketball, though, buddy, we do have the NBA draft tonight.
Oh, wait, before we get into that.
What's that?
Who won the bet for the NBA Finals? You got to remind me. We did a little bet a while back. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
What did we bet on again? I think it was you bet that the, Celtics were going to win Game 7 or something?
I forget
what the exact wording of the bet was.
I think the Warriors had to win in 6 for you to win.
Yeah. And then you did Game 7, and they won Game 6, baby.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I believe you're right. That's unfortunate. So I don't have it this week, but next week I'll have a 4 Loko.
Yeah, buddy.
And I will be bonging it.
Oh God, you don't have to bong it. Oh my God.
There's only one way to drink a 4 Loko, and it's bonging it.
That is so true. So true.
So I just felt my liver start to ache.
Yeah, right. Your body's just like, oh God, no, not next week, please.
Alright, well let's move on to a fresh start. And the fresh start for a lot of these young players is the NBA draft coming up tonight at 8 PM Eastern Standard Time.
Oh. That beautiful transition, though.
Thank you, buddy. Man, before we get to some of the top prospects that will be at this life-changing event tonight, we do want to troll the Sacramento Kings for being dog shit. So the Kings, much like the Cleveland Browns, I'll bring it full circle back to me as well. Have just missed in their draft picks recently. So, for example, back in the 2018 draft, they drafted Marvin Bagley III with his second overall pick. And a gentleman by the name of Luka Doncic, you might have heard of him, went at number three.
Player.
Yeah, went at number three right after Marvin Bagley. And Luka, definitely one of the rising stars in the NBA. Carried the Mavs to a Western Conference final this year. First time that the Kings missed in the last few years. And then if we go all the way back to 2012, they drafted Thomas Robinson at number 5, a pick ahead of Damian Lillard.
Wow.
So
two
brutal ones in a row. And I got one more just to drop.
You got one last one?
Yeah, one more dookie to drop on the Kings before we move on to some of the top picks for tonight. In 2011, they drafted Jimmer Fredette at number 10 and passed on Klay Thompson that one at number 11. So that's how these things work sometimes. One pick away from greatness. And three notable times over the last 10 years where they've just missed.
Oh, yeah, dude. That stings. Stings just like being a Browns fan.
And I do know that sting, unfortunately, very well.
Way too well.
But hopefully the Kings can get it right tonight with some of the top prospects tonight. Oh, come on, Google Chrome. Work with me here, guy. Okay.
A little slow there, buddy. Yeah. Oh, it's lagging, too. Yeah, your PC's struggling.
Yeah, she's hurting.
Give me a break, please.
Yeah. But some of the notable names of the top 10, you want to run through them for me, Fish, since my computer wants to have a seizure over here?
Yeah, just the top 10 right now, or like
some of the notable picks. Names. And then I did see something from Woj actually that he was saying that the top three picks are pretty solidified at this point.
Okay.
So
yeah,
starting with number one, who we got?
For number one, we got Paolo Banchero. Was that how you said? Did I just absolutely butcher that name?
I think
power forward from Duke.
You did pretty well there, guy.
All right, dude, don't make me say these hard names, dude. I don't want to sound like an idiot.
I did see something that Paolo. I could be saying it wrong too. Who knows?
I think it's just Paolo. Paolo.
Yeah,
Paolo.
I've been seeing a lot that he's like the most NBA ready, and that's one of the arguments of him over Holmgren. You know, his shot creation and off the dribble playmaking, kind of give him a little bit of an edge over the other guys. But obviously, if you're a lottery pick in general, you have a chance to be the next star, right? As we just mentioned, some of the guys that are taken before, these 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever picks end up panning out much better, you know, Luka, Dame, and Clay. So not to say that Holmgren or anybody else within the top 14 that we'll be seeing drafted tonight can't surpass anyone else, but yeah, so to start, we have Paolo, and then who do we have at number two?
Yeah, you just mentioned the number two pick. We got Chet Holmgren, is from Gonzaga. And for number three, we got Jabari Smith Jr. from Auburn. Number four, Jaden Ivey from Purdue. Dyson Daniels from G League Ignite. I don't know. Who the hell is that? I've never heard of them before.
The G League is the new D League, so it's like the amateur league, basically.
Oh, okay, all right. How old is that? Did they just implement that this season, or how old is that?
G League's had to have been around for 4 years now, maybe right around there.
Oh my god! All right, this is the first I've ever heard about them.
Oh, they just changed the name from the D League to the G League, but the D League is the
thing for a while. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Here in Cleveland, we got the Canton Charge, buddy, and that was a team Mike was working for a while over in PA, which was really weird. The New Orleans Pelicans G League team was located in PA. The Erie BayHawks.
Must have been some sort of tax deal.
I got no idea, but I think actually I don't know if he got drafted last year or not, but one of the guys that Mike worked with the BayHawks is actually going to be in the draft.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but anyways, so after Dyson Daniels, who else we got on the list there? We'll just go through the top 14 maybe.
Yeah, sure, let's just run through them. Yeah, it's projected number six, we got Benedict Mathurin from Arizona. Number seven, we got Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky. Number eight, we got Keegan Murray from Iowa. Number nine, we got Jalen Duren from Memphis. And number 10, we got AJ Griffin, also from Duke. But two people from Duke are going to be in the top 10 picks right now. That's pretty cool. And then where is 11 through 14? There it is. So at number 11, we got Jeremy Sochan from Baylor. Number 12, we got Terry Eason from LSU, and, repping the home state for number 13, Malachi Branham from Ohio State. I'm just absolutely butchering these names, by the way.
I'm enjoying it. Keep going.
I'm so sorry. And for number 14, Johnny Davis from Wisconsin. I guess for number 15, just to make a nice number, Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. That was so hard to say all those names, by the way. Good lord.
I kind of wanted to keep you going.
Yeah, right. Just do all 50 for now.
Yeah, but so that's kind of Bleacher Report's ranking of the top 14. Obviously, the way they are drafted, most likely will not be in that order, but you can tune in.
Yeah.
To see what the order is here in 2 minutes, actually, when the NBA draft gets underway. So ooh, baby. We'll have an answer to those questions and how the chips may fall for each team there. And hopefully the Kings can get it right this year.
Yeah, right, hopefully.
So obviously each team will be making an addition with those draft picks. And some other teams are rumored to be making some additions with potential trade talk. The one I've been seeing heat up Is Kyrie rejoining LeBron out in LA?
Boo.
I completely agree. I was about to ask you, did you want to see these two team up again? But I'm assuming that's a no.
Boo. Hell no, dude. Fuck Kyrie. I absolutely dislike that guy.
Yeah, so I was going to go on a little rant here about it, but I think my lack of energy and, you know, brain function right now is gonna limit that. But I think we both feel the same way here.
Yeah.
Big fuck Kyrie guy, prima donna, earth flat ass bitch, and then he leaves the greatest player in NBA history after a championship to go for play for Boston, which he ends up leaving there to go to the Nets, and now he's flaking again. And this guy is just a pain in the ass. I'm tired of him. I don't want to see him anywhere near LeBron. And
just over entitled in the league. He just thinks he's like the hottest shit player around, and he just doesn't want to live in LeBron's shadow, which is, I think, is the dumbest argument I've ever heard from any player in the league. If you want to play with one of the GOATs, you stay on that team and play with the GOAT. Okay, you don't say that you don't want to live in their shadow. Okay, oh my god, I'm gonna start ranting about him now. But yeah, I do not want to see him team up with LeBron again.
Yeah, I hope Kyrie never wins another title.
Wow.
I hope he just keeps bouncing around the NBA and he just keeps having dog shit seasons. And yeah, I hope he never wins another title. I can't stand him, even though he hit arguably the greatest shot in Cleveland sports history.
True. I mean, just, oh my god, yeah. Well, we talked about it. I don't need to go into any more detail about it.
Fair enough. So, yeah, the Kyrie-LeBron trade, we'll see if that ends up happening. Like I said, something that we can tune into tonight. The other one that I'm more interested in as a Cavs fan is to see if they can get Bradley Beal tonight. That's another trade I've been seeing potentially in the works. The Cavs did make a move earlier in the day to acquire another third-round pick. So now they have three third-round picks. Three second-round picks.
Oh.
60%, man. 60%. On top of their first-round pick, that was the 14th overall. So I've been seeing a lot of people saying that they're going to package these picks in Colin Sexton to acquire Bradley Beal to complement Darius Garland. I'm all about that. Darius Garland really had his breakout season last year. We have a young Evan Mobley. Once he puts some weight on and gets used to the dynamic of the league, he's already arguably the best rookie last year. Didn't end up coming away with the Rookie of the Year award, but was in the conversation. The Cavs have a really nice young core. Acquiring Bradley Beal would be that veteran that kind of could solidify the team. So I hope that they can make this happen, especially as a Cavs fan, as I noted. So.
Yeah.
Those are the two trade rumors of note that I've seen some heat behind. And the two I would like to see, Kyrie, hopefully he gets shipped away from LeBron, but.
Yeah. Are these rumors have any legitimacy behind them, or are they just like, you know, just typical rumors? Do you think that they could actually happen, or is it just people just spewing shit out their ass?
I think they can actually happen. I mean, when you have Woj, like, and other people like that tweeting about him, like, there's got to be some validity to him.
Right,
The biggest news, though, of the week that I've seen is actually the fact that Arch Manning has now committed to Texas.
Ooh.
Hook him.
Just hook him. Just straight hook him.
that's their... you just got flashbanged again. Shank, thank you very much for the 18-month sub, buddy. Much love. So Arch Manning is actually the first to commit to Texas since Vince Young. I completely see 60%, man. I'm just going to... The title of the podcast this week is just going to be 60%.
Straight 60%.
60%. Yeah, nothing else. So let me give that a sentence another go. So Arch Manning is nationally ranked number one in the country as a recruit, right? Mm-hmm. And committing with Texas makes him only the second player to ever commit as the number one in the nation. And the only other guy to do that was Vince Young back in 2002. So some big shoes to fill for sure. But having the genes of the Manning family. I think he's got all the potential to do that.
Oh, yeah.
He's also received a perfect recruiting score, just like Vince Young. So my question now for you, Fish, is how fast can we expect him to see him turn around the Texas program in a whole, right? Texas hasn't been terrible, but they, at the same time, they haven't been to a national championship since 2009. They haven't won one since 2005.
Wow.
And then over the last 5 years, they've been 37-25, which is not bad, but you'd expect more out of Texas. So do you think this is something that we could see in the next few years? Or like as far as like next year or 2 years? Like how fast do you think he's going to get integrated in the system and make a real impact?
I don't know. I mean, I think it all depends on how well he meshes with his new teammates and everything. Like, I don't see them, like, winning a national championship next season. You know, like, I don't think that's, like, in the picture. But I think, like, you know, like, 2, maybe 3 years down the line, like, they definitely will, you know, get their records a lot better from what they had before. But in the short term, I don't think anything relevant will come. I think he just has to adjust to his new setting and just, like, you know, get that chemistry going on with his teammates and coaches and everything.
Absolutely. And this was a pretty big deal because I know they were saying that Alabama, Clemson, and LSU were also in contention, three schools that have had recent success. And he chose to go to Texas. So I'm excited.
I can't believe
for
he turned down LSU. That's wild.
I'm excited that he's kind of like setting his own path going into a different big school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully bringing Texas back into relevance. There's also a pending deal that Texas will be joining the SEC. So he'll be playing against the teams that he turned down. Potentially, so we'll see.
Those games are going to get pretty wild. Just aim for the legs the whole time.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like we mentioned, kind of a dry week in gaming. We did have a fair amount of sports news, but
yeah,
that'll about do it for episode 48, guys. Like I said, I am hurting from the Natty Ices last night still, so
straight struggling.
Yeah. But as always, guys, we appreciate your support being here, as well as on our offline platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Go ahead and drop us a follow, or whatever it's called on that platform, on each one.
Words,
man. So many words. You want to close it up, man? I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to drink another Natty Ice, get back to homeostasis.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us again, episode 48. We will see you next week. We're closing in at number 50. We got something potentially great coming up for episode 50. So tune in next week for future updates. And you guys have a good Thursday night. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. I do have some stuff planned for episode 50. It's going to be a good one, guys.
Ooh, baby.